So, beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we all confess that it is only by God's grace that we are Christians, in whose heart Christ dwells by faith. The Holy Spirit has made the call of the gospel effective for us. That is, we believe God's promises. We believe they're fulfilled by us partaking of the Christ Jesus to whom we have been called. And so we are therefore called to walk worthy of the calling we have received. Ephesians 5 calls us Christians to pay careful attention then to how we walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, for Christ became wisdom from God for us, as 1 Corinthians at the end of the chapter tells us. The book of Proverbs, along with Job, Psalms, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon, is particularly known as God's wisdom literature. And Proverbs points to Christ as wisdom personified. We've been looking at that as we've gone through Proverbs. And as Christ is the Lord, second person of the Trinity, God come in the flesh as Jesus, as Christ is the Lord, Proverbs 9 tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So for all of us who do fear the Lord, that is, we acknowledge Him, we revere Him, we respect Him, we submit to Him, we understand the Holy One by trusting in His revelation. And we trust that His Word, the Word made flesh, particularly Christ Jesus, all the Scriptures are His Word, that they are wisdom for us. And so as we heed His Word, as we heed the Lord, as we heed His Word, we receive the practical knowledge. That's what wisdom is, the practical knowledge to know how to do, to live as is pleasing to the Lord. Proverbs is wisdom from God. Proverb is God's practical knowledge, know-how for various aspects of life, as we've been seeing that, including also the know-how for raising up our covenant children. Now, we know that. It's not news to people who are communicant members of the church. But we also know, as Christians, there's the frustrating reality that even as we Christians are Christians, and we trust in God's Word, we are still prone to a default kind of know-how. The kind that thinks, I know best how to do this. The kind of know-how that still leans on one's own understanding. Of course, we also know that Proverbs 3 says, don't do that. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Because that kind of know-how that trusts in man's wisdom, that's foolishness, not wisdom. So when it comes to raising up our children, we're all quite aware that the world, the culture, and yes, even our remaining old man's selfish pride offers much know-how for raising up our children. You know, if you Google child raising, you get some very interesting things. Titles like that, this is very common, how to raise well-rounded kids, how to raise happy children, parenting as having the child sense his worthiness. But as we should know, at the very root of God's know-how, wisdom, like Proverbs, at the very root of it is the reality of our children's being conceived and born in sin, and thus foolishness being bound up in their hearts. That's what we read, Proverbs 22:15. And so since our calling as Christian parents, we don't belong to the world, we're not of it, as we belong to Christ. And our calling as Christian parents is to bring up our children not in accordance with the world's thinking and wisdom, so-called, but in the discipline and instruction or the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6. Of course, that's not any different than going back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. So that means, beloved, especially who are parents and those who are expecting to be parents, and it can be useful for us as grandparents, it means that we may not raise our children other than in submission to the Lord and for the cause of Christ. And that means, beloved, that we may not just stand by and let deadly foolishness continue to characterize their walk. That's our calling. So bringing up, training up, in the Hebrew, it has the sense of dedication. And the dedication is this. This is what we should hope and pray for in the raising of our children. May what happens in the life of this young one ever magnify the greatness, the worth, the sufficiency, and saving power of our God. That's what we should desire. That's what raising up our children should really be all about as Christian parents. Now, the original Hebrew of Proverbs 22:6 states, most literally, and we read that as it's usually translated, train up youth in his path, train up youth in his path, then when they age, they will not depart from it. Now, most translations add words, so it says, train him up in the way he should go. Now, given that Proverbs and all of Scripture really stresses the way a child and us adults should go, that is, in the way of godliness, in the way of righteousness, in the way of holiness, then training up to go in that way, that blessed God-fearing way, that saving power of God witnessing kind of way, that's a fitting interpretation of what the Proverbs is trying to tell us. However, and this is what's missed when you just read it the way it's been translated in most translations, the original does have a warning built into it. In other words, just stand by, let your child go in the way of his sinful, selfish, I want to do it my way. Let him continue that way, and he'll act that way as an adult. That's the warning of that Proverbs, actually. And we should realize that the Proverbs are not really intended to be promises, positive or negative. They are wisdom, know-how, advice that when implemented is most likely to give the desired results, pleasing to and blessed by God. But we should realize that the results are always in God's hands. And we Christians find our comfort in the God who in Christ, by his great mercy and love, makes those dead in sin, those with foolishness in their hearts, alive with Christ. Ephesians 2, 4, 5. And God, by his grace, by his power, overcomes the old man with the new. And that's all by his sovereign grace. But if you want, as every Christian parent should want, your children to grow up walking with the Lord, then raise them up, dedicate them in the know-how received from God's word. Do it any other way. Trust what the world has to say. Trust what your deceitful heart might say to you. Trust what your neighbors might say. Trust what you read on the internet. You do that way, you're in effect standing around, as someone said, standing around with your hands in your pockets, waiting to pick up the pieces. Think about that. So we want to look a little more closely at these Proverbs that we read. Not as much depth as we could. It's more of an overview again. But we want to look at the wisdom, the know-how that God gives to us that we are to apply as Christian parents in the raising up of our covenant children. Now, we looked at a fundamental one. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. And he who spares the rod hates his child, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. The rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. So do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. Discipline your son and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. So again, as we look to God's revelation, that tells us the truth about ourselves and about him and the way of life. God tells us that our cute babies and toddlers, with those disarming smiles, they have foolishness bound up in their hearts. That's the reality. And as parents, it is our duty to train them up in the way that God graciously uses to drive that foolishness out of their hearts. Now, we should be clear that the foolishness in mind here is not the sorts of things that babies and young toddlers do because their mental and physical faculties are not yet fully developed. They don't always know rightly what is safe and what is not. It's foolish for a baby to try to eat a rubber band or go down the stairs before they've learned to crawl or walk, but I've known babies to do just that. And you probably have too, and many other foolish things. That's the foolishness of being that age. The folly or the foolishness that is bound up in their hearts is not that, but that of the sinful nature they have from conception on. We hear that from Psalm 51, that we were conceived and born in sin. But also from Psalm 58, even from birth, the wicked go astray. From the womb, they are wayward. So it starts before you have a chance to do anything. All of our children, we always got to remind ourselves of this, all of our children are just little descendants of Adam, having little hearts full of sin, as against the reality, already having in them the seed of future sinful deeds that can multiply to a whole harvest of ungodliness. That's the reality. So in raising our children, we're not starting with a clean slate, as people want to believe. We're not starting a clean slate. As a matter of fact, we're starting with a dirty, already corrupted slate. That's the reality. So our children need not just guidance. There's all kinds of guidance available. Oh, do this and you'll be happy. Do this and you'll feel your worthiness. No, they need not just guidance, they need discipline. They need correcting to overcome their proneness to behave sinfully. That's what we parents are called to do in raising up our children. And wisdom tells us that is our duty as parents, as those who love our children, is to drive this folly of sin out of their hearts. That is, by the use of godly discipline, applying God's know-how to our children in the raising them up. And we ought to think of that proverbial wisdom in terms of raising up our children is true of everything. That's the means we should use for the expected end, the desired end, which is humility before the Lord, a walk of godliness. Now, all of us who see our children with the eyes of wisdom, in other words, we see them as they really are, based on God's telling us what they are, we see the evidence of our children's folly. It's you always wonder, you don't see that? We see the evidence of the sin bound up in their hearts when they are willful, when they throw a tantrum hoping to get their way. We know what that's all about. We see it. It's evident. They're expressing the hallmark of the sinful nature, selfishness. Me, me, me. And when they refuse to listen to the voice of authority, mom and dad, first of all, we know what that's all about. It's the rebellion of sin, of refusing to submit to authority other than their own. They want to be as God. That's really the root of the original sin, if you read Genesis 3. When we see them refuse to share their toy with another, when they see them lie, blame, talk back, hit, bite, kick others, pout. I mean, who hasn't seen that? We see the reality of the folly that's bound up in their hearts. That's what that's all about. And in demonstrating our love for them, we train them. We discipline them just as the Lord disciplines us whom he loves. And so we are diligent, or we are called to be diligent to dedicate them to godliness, to holiness. So we pray that they would grow up reflecting again the transforming power of God in their lives. That they would walk in accordance with their status as holy in the sight of God. That's what we consider them. That's why we baptize them as infants. We want them to walk in that walk that assures of life everlasting rather than the way of foolishness, the way that's already bound up in their hearts, the way of foolishness that yields eternal death. For all those who keep pursuing foolishness, we don't want them to do that. So we correct them, we train them, we discipline them with that end in mind. We love them. We want them to walk in blessedness. We want them to walk in the assurance of everlasting life. So wisdom speaks very plainly about all of this. Do not withhold discipline from a child. Hear it again. Do not withhold discipline from a child. This is the Lord speaking to you parents. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. Now my sermon title, Withhold Not Correction, is actually borrowed from a book. By that title, a book based on Proverbs, based on scripture teaching, a book I highly recommend. It's written by Ray... I had it down, and I don't know what happened to that. Bruce Ray. Was it Ray Bruce? Bruce Ray. I think it's still available, but it's really a good book. But again, what Proverbs teaches us that if you and I as parents withhold from our children the godly discipline, the correction that is our God-given responsibility, then we are allowing our children to continue in the rebellious folly that God condemns unto eternal death. Serious matter. So training, dedicating, that's more than just teaching. It's really grace-dependent shepherding of our children's hearts and minds and wills to bring them to understand that they are not their own, but servants of the Lord their Creator who shed his blood to redeem them from foolishness. So discipline, the rod of correction, God tells us, drives out foolishness and imparts wisdom. So foolishness, the way of death, wisdom, the way of life, everlasting. Now, we understand, again, as we trust God's revelation, as we interpret Scripture with Scripture, we know that our children are not saved by our training them up in wisdom. That saving is by God's grace through faith. But if we train them up in the know-how that trusts in God's words and trusts in the Spirit's work, then God's grace may be imparted to our children through our training them up in the way God has said we should. We trust in God's faithfulness to his covenant promise to be God to our covenant children. And our training them up according to wisdom demonstrates our trust in his promise. We should realize that trusting in God's promises is never in isolation from doing what God calls us to do. Trusting also means applying God's know-how. That's what we're called to do. That's our responsibility. Train up your children, nurture and admonition of the Lord. So how are we to correct, discipline our children, correct them in the hope of their lives, testifying that they are Christ's? Well, we should note that if we withhold discipline, and all of us that are parents have, I suspect, been guilty of that at times, one time or another. I know I have in my raising up of my children. If we withhold discipline when we should be disciplining, in other words, if we leave them to their foolish selves in a particular instance, if that's a pattern in our households become enslaved to their willfulness. We all know how that is. You're always putting out brush fires because there's no correction taking place. And you as parents will be frustrated. You will be in a non-peaceable state. It's really a disgrace to see a Christian household in that kind of state. As Proverb puts it, a child left to himself disgraces his mother. And then the positive side is discipline your son, he will give you peace, he will bring delight to your soul. And we all know this. Disciplined children are much more granting of peace to us than when they're always misbehaving, always rebelling, always being willful, because you don't train them. And we know that in our day, in our culture, you know, parents, as they listen to the culture or think they're wise in their own eyes, they try to please the child, to be his best friend, to try to bridge the generation gap, be relevant to him and her in our we all have our rights culture kind of a situation. That's the view, right, in our day. Children have all these rights. But without godly discipline, however else you raise your child, you're really leaving him, her, in his deadly foolishness. That's the reality. And that's not love for our children. So love disciplines to drive foolishness out of the heart and to impart wisdom. But that is the way of life that we want them to follow. Not foolishness, but wisdom. So how do we discipline our children? We see the rod mentioned in several of our Proverbs, but it's good for us to know that the word translated discipline from the Hebrew has a range of meanings, again, from teaching and instruction, and notches it up a bit to exhortation and warning, and at its severest level, it's physical chastening. And when God speaks of a rod in these Proverbs, he does mean discipline by physical means. Considers Proverbs 26:3, a whip for the horse, a halter for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. Well, we all understand that a whip and a halter and a rod are all forms of discipline applied physically to the body. I mention that because nowadays it's not politically correct or culturally correct and may get you into trouble with the authorities if you use any sort of physical discipline. And as a result of that, there are some now modern commentators who interpret the rod metaphorically. It's not really a rod. It's not really a stick. It's not a dowel. It's not a twig. It's not something like that. It's just another word for the word of God. But that doesn't fit the context of the scriptures here in Proverbs. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Because the rod here does mean to inflict a measure of pain. But it's temporary. It's not permanent. It doesn't do any real harm. So the rod was understood as physical chastening, but in our culture, that is now prevailingly thought of as child abuse. But God tells us the rod is not abuse. It's just the opposite of what those who are wise in their own eyes think. It's not abuse, but a demonstration of love. The rod can be used abusively, to be sure. And we parents have to be very careful that our motivations are right. The rod is not to vent our anger or frustration with our children's willfulness. It is to be used with self-control. We apply the rod with care, knowing that we are sinners as well. And we need to realize that the rod is only the severest form of discipline, used when words and warnings fail to bring about godly behavior. And again, consider, even as we are no longer children, but adult Christians, God is still chastening us. He's still correcting us, as we read from Hebrews 12. So our sinful nature is being put to death more and more, and we become more submissive to walking godliness. And, you know, God does it now as we're adults who know without the rod a physical pain. Although he can cause all kinds of other pain for us as he chastens us. So how does God discipline us, all of us? Well, primarily it's through his word. We hear every Sunday how we ought to live in thankfulness for our salvation in Jesus Christ. Your children ought to be hearing that. That's why we include them in our worship services. And then we know that we hear that our salvation is only in Christ Jesus, by his word and spirit. And we also are encouraged and admonished by God through the fellowship that's like-minded with us in the truth, that we are to walk in the way which is pleasing to God, that we are to discipline ourselves to amend our lives. Same principle we teach to our children, but we have to enforce it because of their age. Because children, especially young children, we can't really expect much self-discipline from them yet. They don't have it yet. So it's up to us parents to discipline them, to stop sinful behavior and teach them to do instead what is pleasing to God. And so at first to use words to discipline. You know, even before the age of one, babies understand the meaning of no. Experienced that myself. You know, you say no with an authoritative voice, and the next time you say no to them about something that they were doing, that they'll start to look around, see where he's watching. But we have to remember, it's not the foolishness of being a child that we want to discipline. Yes, for their physical welfare, we want them to learn to do things that could not to do things that could be harmful to them. But we really want to discipline their sinful behavior. So again, a tantrum thrown by a 2 or 3 year old, and I've seen them by teenagers, and yes, adults even, that's not mere childishness, that's the foolishness still bound up in their hearts. That's sinful selfishness and refusal to submit. So how do you discipline that in your child? How do you discipline the foolishness out of them? Well, first of all, you ought not let them have their way. Not let them have their way. They keep insisting on having their way. You don't let them have their way, because that would be withholding discipline that love for their soul dictates. Now, this is where consistency and diligence are highly important for us parents and those of you who might become parents. Because, and we all know this, we're all too prone to be just too busy, too caught up, too distracted, too careless, too passive when we should be active in discipline. Oh, I'll deal with that later. And then the child has his way and nothing's done about it. Later on, it might not be effective. So if the Lord has given you children to train up, may you plead with the Lord to be diligent, self-sacrificingly so, self-sacrificially so, to be actively carrying out your responsibility. We allow too many things to get in the way. Oh, I'm not going to be home. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm on my smartphone reading the latest whatever. So exercising faith is part of raising your children. Exercise faith in the Lord. Do what he calls you to do. Do so in the energy of Christian discipline and in the patience of Christian hope. Trust in God. So you first use words. Words that teach that God is not pleased with the rebellious actions against his authority. And we should understand that discipline should always be in the context of living before the face of God, who is our creator, our just, our judge, and our redeemer. Children should get to understand what that discipline is all about. That's why you should be composed when you discipline. Think. So you have the right attitude. So you're conveying the right message. And if words that stop the tantrum, if that stops it, you've accomplished discipline. But if it continues, then you give them a stern warning. God means what he says, and sin is punished. Continue in this sinful behavior, and you too will be punished. If the warning stops the tantrum, again, you've accomplished discipline. But if that does not stop it, then the rod is applied. Wisdom tells us that the rod is disciplined to be used if words and verbal warnings have not been effective. If children will not receive verbal correction, they must receive a more direct communicating to them. They understand pain, that kind of correction. Wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks judgment. Remember, wisdom looks around and he sees a young person who lacks judgment. Our children all lack judgment to start out with. And lacking judgment shows up when you refuse to obey the authority of God as he has placed it over you in the form, first of all, of parents. And God's warnings are not in vain. Christ Jesus suffered God's wrath onto the anguishing, physical, hell-experiencing death of the cross. That's the great testimony that God's justice will not allow sin to go unpunished. The rod should be an opportunity to teach God's justice and yet his great goodness and mercy and love in sending his Son into the world to suffer the punishment we deserve for all of our sins against our parents, against our elders, against God ultimately. The rod is just a mild taste of what awaits those who do not bend the knee before the Lord, those who continue in the way of foolishness. Drive that lesson home, that it may be rooted in their hearts so they see the need of the Savior and learn that obedience to the Lord is the way of wisdom, the way of eternal life in him, who suffered the penalty for all of our foolishness so that we might have life in him without condemnation, never again fearing God's punishment. Oh yes, he'll chastise us as he loves us. So we should do it with that understanding, the discipline of our children. You know, if we threaten punishment for ongoing sinful conduct, and if that conduct continues, and then we have to carry out what we threatened. Otherwise, our children get the idea, when it comes right down to it, we're really winking at their sinful behavior. And if they think that, they will likely think that God also winks at sin and think it's no big deal to sin before God. So withholding correction, wisdom tells us, is dangerous for their souls. Don't do it. Do not withhold correction. You know, all of us know many adults that did not receive godly discipline in their childhood and are still living in the foolishness of living as if they were God, still acting as if they could live autonomous of God, of his rule, of his justice. A lot of people like that around. Now God, by his almighty grace, can yet overcome that. And God uses the means of the gospel, the power of God on to transform eternal life in Christ Jesus. He can do that anytime. But that folly should have been driven out of their hearts already in childhood by godly discipline applied by godly parents. That's the way it should be. Especially for us, the church, for us Christian parents. I mean, think of the witness of the church as God's holy people if we withhold the correction that is the know-how for raising up the next generation that is called to reflect God's holiness. Think of the witness of the church. Hebrews 12 tells us, and we know this, and that's one of the reasons why sometimes we don't want to use the rod. No discipline seems pleasant but painful. Sometimes we just, I don't want to cause any pain for my child. But as Hebrews goes on to say after speaking about the unpleasantness of discipline, later on, however, it says, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained in it. There's a blessing. It's a good thing. It yields fruit that we desire. So godly discipline of our children, because it is godly, because we do it trusting in the Lord and not leaning on our own understanding, is a blessing, not only for our own children, but it's a blessing for the church's witness again of her blessed submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. So parents and future parents and children and members of God's church, listen to all of this, heed the word of God, this know-how for raising children. And I'll close with this from Proverbs. My son, this is addressed to children now, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. And it applies to us as well, because the Lord still disciplines us. It applies to all of us, really, but children should listen too. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. Let us show our love and delight for our children by raising them up in the know-how that God provides for us. Let us not withhold correction for their welfare, spiritual welfare, and for the glory of God. Amen.